Today's scripture is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John and, because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." This is the word of God.
Let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to be here, to be in this place, part of your family, Lord, and we're just asking that by your Holy Spirit, you open our hearts to your word. And I'm asking, oh God, that you take the words that you've given me to speak today, and that they will go out and do the work that you have anointed them to do. So, Lord, we're just praising you today, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, about 2012, a movie came out called The Life of Pi. Did anybody see The Life of Pi when it came out? Life of Pi. It won a bunch of Academy Awards. It won for Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Visual Effects, Best Score. But I think if there had been an award for Best Allegory for Facing Our Fears, it really would have won hands down, because that's really the crux of the whole story of the movie. Briefly, the movie is about a young man named Pi, who grows up in a family that owns a small zoo in India. And he grows up, he has kind of an idyllic life, you know, he's there just kind of interacting with all these exotic animals. But there's one animal that he has a healthy respect for, if not a terror of, and that's the giant Bengal tiger that's named Richard Parker. Well, his life goes along fine, but then takes a dramatic turn when his family decides they're going to move that whole zoo to Canada by ship. And one night, as they're out there on the ocean, they encounter a tremendous storm. And the storm begins to beat upon that ship. And it breaches the lower decks where everyone is sleeping and where the animals are held. And it traps Pi's family, but it releases all of these animals, and they're washed up to the top decks where Pi happens to be watching the storm. Well, the storm is beating against this ship, and the crew, they grab hold of Pi, they throw him into this 30-man lifeboat that becomes detached from the ship and goes crashing down into the storm. And as Pi is sitting there all alone in this boat, he sees above him just these huge waves and animals just coming flying off the deck of that ship. The animals from the zoo just coming off and crashing into the ocean around him. It's terrifying, and he grabs hold of the masthead and he just screams with terror and with sorrow at the loss of his family. And that's how he rides out the storm till the next day, and he realizes that he is on this boat in the middle of a vast, vast ocean, And the only other companion in the boat is that Bengal tiger named Richard Parker. Well, faced with being in a boat with a tiger, Pi decides it might be better to get out of there. So what he does is he makes a little raft out of anything he can find and life preservers and stuff. And he throws it over. He kind of lashes it to the boat. But he decides he's going to stay out there and just let the tiger, the thing that he fears the most, to take the boat. You know, he can just have it and I'll sit out here. But he begins to realize as the sharks begin to circle him and other hazards come up that if he has any chance of survival, if he's going to have any chance of survival, he has to get back in that boat. And he has to leverage whatever power he has to tame that tiger, to defeat his fear. So I'm going to ask you today, what's your fear today? What is the one thing that's stopping you from doing the thing that you would do if you could just get by that fear? If fear had no more chance of stopping you than you do of stopping the sunrise, what would you do? Just something to think about. This passage comes to us today at a time just after the crucifixion of Jesus, and the disciples are in disarray. They're just seized by fear. The disciples were those close followers of Jesus, right? And they are seized with fear. Now, it's true that just a few weeks before, people had been celebrating Jesus. They had been proclaiming Jesus as their king, their Messiah. They were hopeful about Jesus. But all of that ended as soon as he was arrested, as soon as he was brought to trial before the high priest, and as soon as he was sentenced to death and crucified. At that point, all bets were off. Everybody who'd been proclaiming that Jesus had arrived and had been so enamored with Jesus, suddenly they were running and hiding. Even his closest followers, even his closest follower, Peter. There's a famous story where Peter is in a crowd and a waitress sees him and identifies him as one of those people that was following Jesus. And Peter is so afraid of being identified and being arrested and being maybe tortured and killed like Jesus is that he runs away and hides. So as Jesus dies, his closest friends run away and hide. But by the time we get to this story, it's about 7 weeks later. That's all it is. Peter, very same Peter, and John, another disciple of Jesus, they're like walking around Jerusalem. They're just walking around Jerusalem. And right there in the middle of the city where all this went down, where Jesus was captured, where Jesus was tortured, where Jesus was killed, right there, they're just walking through the city, huh? And not only are they just walking, they're going to the temple, which is headquarters for this conspiracy to kill Jesus and shut down this movement and disperse any of their followers. They're walking right into the temple. And it's not even like they're sneaking around. They get into the temple. Dig this. They're coming up to the temple, and they see a man who's disabled, who can't walk. And the man is begging for money. And he begs for money from Peter. And instead of giving him money, Peter says, I don't have any money for you, but here, try this on for size. And he pulls down his hand and he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And scriptures say that the man's ankles become strong and his legs become strong and he starts jumping and leaping and praising God, right? Suddenly, this man who before was so afraid and was so cowardly, he's healing people in the middle of the temple. And a huge crowd gathers around him because this is a remarkable thing, right? And again, you might think Peter's going, uh-oh, crowd, you know, I don't want them to know that I'm, you know, associated with Jesus. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he stands up strong. He looks these people in the eye and he says, the thing that you have seen, this healing that you have seen, this is not my work, but the work of God. And not just any God, your God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The God, he says, the God who glorified Jesus. And then he turns on that crowd and he says, Jesus, the one that all of you gave up and were complicit in his murder. And he means it too. This is personal with him, right? This isn't like, you know, humanity killed Jesus, evil killed you. He means these people. Because you think about it, most of them were there. Most of them were around. They were there at Passover. It's just 7 weeks before. They know about Jesus. They know what happened. Many of them were probably among those who celebrated when Jesus came into town and probably got caught up in the crucify movement, calling for Jesus to be crucified. Many of these probably followed that procession up to the place of the skull and watched as Jesus' blood was drained from him. Many of them were probably among those who, as the sun darkened that day and seemed to stand still, thought with hundreds of others, oh my God, what have we done? Peter stands in that temple. He stands in that temple ground. He proclaims the name of Jesus as Son of God. And he accuses those around him of having been complicit in the murder of the Son of God. These people who could tear him apart if they wanted to, right there and then. He stands there. It's a whole new man. Within minutes, the temple guard, the very same probably people who went out to arrest Jesus just a few weeks before, they come up, they arrest Peter, they arrest John, they take him down to a holding cell, and they make an appointment with him to go see the high priest. For Peter, it must have been like deja vu, right? I mean, here he is, you know, one minute everybody's celebrating a miracle, the next minute there's an arrest, there's an imprisonment, there's an appointment with the high priest. Sounds very much like what had happened just a few weeks before, but one big difference. There's no fear. There's no fear in Peter. He's taken whatever power he has, and he's leveraged that power to overcome his fear and do what he knew he had to do, do what was right. They didn't walk away, Peter and John, right? They didn't walk away from the confrontation. They didn't walk away from what they knew they had to do. They walked right into it. They didn't try to disassociate themselves from Jesus. They proclaimed his name. They knew that by healing that man, by attracting a crowd, by doing these things, they had as much chance of not being arrested as they did of stopping the sunrise. But they did it anyway, because they knew that they had a power. And that power was the power of the resurrection of Jesus. The power of the resurrection of Jesus. These acts that Peter did, and the next day he did more. When he came before Caiaphas, remember Caiaphas is the same guy, the high priest is the same guy. He has just as much power as he did when he brought Jesus before him. He has the power to make Peter's life miserable. He has the power to maybe even end Peter's life. But when Caiaphas orders him to stop proclaiming the name of Jesus, Caiaphas has as much chance of getting Peter to stop doing that as he does of stopping the sunrise. None. Because Peter is standing in a new power. The power of the rising of the sun of God. We have that same power. We stand in that same power, you and I. So I ask you, what is the fear? What is the thing that if we would do, if we could just get past that fear? What would we do if we truly believed that Jesus was standing right beside us no matter what we're going to do? Because that is the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection isn't just a power that says, well, you know, after all, since Jesus rose from the dead, we're going to rise from the dead too. So, hey, what's death? I mean, you know, that could be part of it. And especially for someone like Peter, that maybe is part of it. And there are people in parts of the world right now for whom that's a real reality. That they could be put to death for proclaiming the name of Jesus. But for us, the power of the resurrection is the power that Jesus is alive. And if Jesus is alive, then he is doing what he promised he would do, which is to be with us, to stand with us, to help us get through any fear, to help us take the risks, to do what is right. So I ask you, what fear would you face? What risk would you take? For the sake of improving your marriage. For the sake of doing the right thing where you work. For the sake of your children, even if it means changing your friends, changing your lifestyle. What fear would you face? What risk would you take if you knew that Jesus was standing right next to you to help you do it? Because that is exactly what he's doing. That's the power of the resurrection. See, Jesus didn't just rise just to rise. He rose for you. He rose for me. He rose to give us that power, that resurrection power, to move through our fears and do what we know God is calling us to do what is right. So what are those things? What is that fear? And you need to ask God to help you move through today. What is it? What is it? You know, Peter had as much reason to fear as he walked up to that temple as Pi did to be in a rowboat, in a boat with a tiger. But at one point in that movie, Pi is writing in his journal and he says, you know, I'm realizing that my fear, or rather the power I have to leverage to overcome my fear, is what's keeping me alive. Peter, too, he could have lived his life in hiding. He could have stayed there. But instead, he leveraged the power of the resurrection to reach out his hand to heal that man, to witness to that crowd and save many, to proclaim to the high priest that the stone the builders have rejected, Jesus, is the capstone, is the cornerstone, the stone in ancient buildings that anchored the whole edifice and off which every wall was set. The stone that puts everything in perspective. That cornerstone in our lives, in Peter's life, was Jesus. Changed everything. What's the cornerstone in your life today? What's the cornerstone in the life of this church today? What's the cornerstone we're planting in the lives of our children today? If it's Jesus, then you know what? Fear has as little chance of stopping us as we have of stopping the sunrise. Because truly, we can leverage the power of the rising of the Son of God. Resurrection power of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise you for miracles. We praise you, God, that where Jesus is, there's a potential for change. That where Jesus is, there's a potential for healing, all kinds of healing. And that where Jesus is, Lord, there is life. And you have given us Jesus and his resurrection life to be with us. So we praise you today in your name. We praise you in the name of the Son. We praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.